Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Lorenzo Neal, this is Dan DeVone. As we get you ready for coming up on Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers, of course, take on the Buffalo Bills. Don't forget, right here on 95.7 The Game, tomorrow, the Golden State Warriors try and snap a three-game losing streak as they do battle with the Phoenix Suns. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. That'll be my man Evan Giddings and myself doing a Warriors this week as Golden State looks to get back to their winning ways against a good Phoenix Sun team with Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and company and, of course, Mr. Booker. All that straight ahead, and we can get a little baseball if we want to. If you want to talk, I can't do Blake Snell signing all that money, go to the Dodgers. That just pains me. One thing I did want to just to kick around, and we can get into this is all sort of, there's a connective tissue to the San Francisco 49ers, but the NFC and the landscape of the NFC right now, the two games that were played on Turkey Day, you know, we've talked about one of them. The other, which, and of course, Minnesota was the Chicago Bear game, which resulted in the firing of their head coach Matt Eberflus, who didn't use the timeout. And then again, as I read out loud his comments after the game, which were just as egregious.
Oh, gosh.
So he's gone as a head coach. We talked about that game. The other of which are those Green Bay Packers. Now, you know, I poke fun at Tua Tagovailoa. Because you can't dink and dunk in cold water, I don't believe, just like Brock Purdy. Purdy has got to at some point, even if you're not a strong-arm quarterback, you just got to reach down and let her go. I think that's the only way to throw a football and win in cold weather, which certainly is what he's going to be dealing with on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills in beautiful Buffalo. But just getting back to Green Bay, the team that thumped San Francisco, and I mean, you don't see a Kyle Shanahan coach team very often be on the short end of a game that was where you were manhandled. And the Packers are doing what it is that they did a year ago. And that is, you know, though you know this, that you can be good in August and September, but as I like to say, when you got to bust out those gloves and throw on the parka for the first time during the winter season, that's when you want to be hitting your stride. That's when you want to be peaking. They did it last year. And it looks as though Green Bay could be the danger on the outside, especially in that competitive NFC North.
The North is the best in football. When you think about where the NFC North, when you think about Minnesota, Green Bay, and the Lions, you got three teams And hey, and I got the Bears on the line, who was just right there, who just lost some games. They just don't have the, you know, don't have the gravitas yet. They don't know how to win. But yeah, I think Green Bay, if you look at their team as a whole right now, the way that they're playing, I was quoted saying I think, you know, the Lions are the best team in the NFC, maybe the best team in football. I think they would have been, but too many injuries. I think the injury bug is going to force this offense to have to score even more. And it's tough because Aaron Glenn, a personal friend, played with him with the Jets, the DC. I just think that his cupboard's getting bare. You got to be lucky. When you're playing in the playoffs, especially this time of the year when the playoffs are right around the corner, you got to have players, and you got to play great defense. And you're the Lions right now without your best pass rusher, are going to be top three or four pass rushers in the league.
Chad Hutchinson, gone. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just lost some corners and safeties and a lot of injuries.
Anzalone lost, linebacker.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough. So I think right now you look at Green Bay, they're playing good defense. They can run the ball. Their quarterback is coming into his own.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing. Minnesota's right there. So when you think about those three teams, hell, it's not Tampa Bay. It's not going to compete. And then, of course, you have the Niners and the Rams and Cardinals battling for, you know, battling for that spot. But those are the three teams that you look at and you say, wow, either three of these teams, it's those three teams, they're going to be representing the NFC, in my opinion, in a Super Bowl.
The Vikings might be the most disrespected team right now, when you think about, you know, a team that's got a record at, what are the Vikings, 9-2.
9-2. They're right there. And that's why they're not going to take their foot off the pedal. And that's why you look at Detroit and you look at the way that Green Bay, all these teams are still fighting for the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, all these teams saying, if we played at home, we got a best chance to win. And I think Green Bay, next week, they're playing Lions on deck. And I'm going to take Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to beat the Lions. The way they're playing football, the style of way they're playing football, collectively, offense, defense, and special teams, I like Green Bay in that game.
Well, think about the Lions. They're 11-1, and you would think, well, 11-1, well, we can, you know, we're okay. They have no room to put their to let their guard down. If you stub your toe once, you've got the Vikings are a game back,
right?
And then you've got the Packers, as we talked about, two games back. 11-1 don't mean anything out there in the North.
No.
You're not. We talked about potentially if the 49ers could catch the Lions when the Lions are resting starters. If you're to look at the way it's stacked up currently, that's not going to be the case because they're fighting for their playoff, not their playoff lives, but certainly
number
for the
one
number
seed.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the thing that you're looking at. And this is going to go down to the wire. This is too quick. It's too hard to take your foot off the gas for all these teams. And that's why it's so important with the Niners to try to find a way to win, just to backdoor try to win, because you're in a conference that's very weak. And so you have an opportunity still at only 5 wins. You have a chance to sneak in. But you look at Green Bay, the way that Jacobs is running the ball, when you think about Jacob, how he's running the ball, how downhill, the way they're getting him in the passing game, running the quick screens to him. And there's a team we haven't even talked about. We haven't even talked about a team. Think about those teams we just talked about. Those are the three. What about the Philadelphia Eagles? The Philadelphia Eagles and Saquon Barkley, what he brought to the Philadelphia, and you have Vic Fangio, defensive DC, defensive coordinator, who was a coach also, had been a head coach, been a DC for many years, was my DC when I played with the Saints, but love Vic Fangio, what he does as far as defensive front. You see what he did with the Niners, all them great years, Fangio. So now you have a Philadelphia Eagle team that is running the ball probably – better than Green Bay. So Green Bay is right there, but Philadelphia, big test for them this week against Baltimore. Can't wait to see that game out there. But the NFC, to me, they're just loaded.
All right, let's get back to the San Francisco 49ers, and our man Carter's got some updated news.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Do a mini breaking news there because it's not a huge deal, but a lot of Niners fans will probably be pleased to hear that the Niners have waived wide receiver Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell, no longer a member of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. Did they activate someone, or are they going to bring someone in? Because he was a guy that, you know, they activated him a couple times this year. You saw this guy, you know, he was bounced around a practice squad. Bill, you know,
special teams guy,
you know, had some crucial drops at certain times. But they try to stick with him. But it's interesting to see what they're doing. Are they going to go out and bring another defensive lineman in to get some depth on that defensive line? Or are you going to go out and bring in some offense? Because I think if you're going to bring someone in, I think you need to bring someone in the trenches if you're going to open up a roster spot.
Well, speaking of the wide receivers and rookies, I asked you about Caleb Williams. How do you assess Ricky Pearsall to this point? Because he had that breakout game against Dallas, and suddenly, okay, wow, we can count on this guy, and then suddenly he was nowhere to be found against Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay was just tough to get any type of rhythm going offensively and schematically, you know, with some consistency. So I think that you look at Ricky Pearsall and you think about how he's able to catch the ball. He can separate. He's a good route runner. And the injury this year, you know, really kind of put him behind the eight ball, unfortunately, what happened to him downtown. But when you think about this guy, he knows how to run routes. He knows how to create distance. I think he's going to be a good receiver. He is going to be a good receiver, but it's like, how are they going to focus on him? Is he going to be the playmaker? Does he need to step up and be a playmaker? No, he just needs to make plays and stay consistent. And the opportunity is going to come. And I think this week, when you have Purdy playing, Purdy will, you know, he's not afraid to share the ball if you can get open. And I think this is a guy that can get open.
We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, the tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change location. The coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com. All right, we're going to continue here on 95.7 The Game with my man Lorenzo Neal as we talk about the 49ers as well as the rest of the NFL. I want to take you around the National Football League. We talked about, you know, how dangerous the NFC is and Philadelphia Eagles. I know it's early, but I want you to give me a team coming out of the AFC and a team coming out of the NFC. We'll do all that and more. We continue right after this.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It is Lorenzo Neal. It is Dan Devone on this Friday. A happy Friday to all of you. It's just absolutely picturesque here in San Francisco, California, and throughout the Bay Area. What's it like out in Fresno? What are you guys doing out there? Has the Thule fog set in yet?
No, it hasn't. We haven't got enough rain yet. We still get some fog every now and then, but usually when that Thule fog comes in, in January and February, you can barely see in front of you.
I've dealt with that.
It's dangerous out there.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking to Steve Tasker, the standout.
Yeah.
Well, he was a wide receiver, but a standout special teams player, and of course, a former Buffalo Bill, so we talked to him about Buffalo and obviously what it is that the 49ers are going to have to deal with in terms of that fan base and the elements. We also talked about the 49ers and their struggles as far as special teams are concerned. He said it's not necessarily always about the physical.
To me, the Niners look like it's from the neck up. You know, I think it looks like to me it's from the neck up. And I don't know what it would take. I don't know the pulse of the 49ers at all, but that, I think Kyle Shanahan needs to, I think I would put it on him to do some soul searching and find a message that gets them over that mental hump or shakes the cobwebs out, whatever analogy you want to use. I think it's between their ears. And, you know, I think it's up to Kyle Shanahan to figure out what message he can come up with, what tactic he can use. Maybe it's his leaders. Maybe he needs to sit them down. Maybe it's the other end of the roster. Maybe he needs to elevate some of the lesser players and give them a shot at it. Whatever it needs to be, something needs to shake loose a locker room that's in a little bit of a malaise and just can't figure out or can't remember who they are.
How about that? He was talking about special teams, but you could take that a step further as far as the team as a collective. But just relegating it to special teams, does it get to a point, just like anything else, where you expect bad things to happen?
Yeah, and it's mental. And like you said, it's above the shoulders, you know, and it's the mental attitude and it's the mental preparation, what you're doing. And he said, hey, you know, maybe Shanahan needs to grab someone and shake it up and do whatever. And I think he's probably spoke to the teams, but I think action speaks louder than words. So what do you do if you're a head coach? And what are some of the things that I would probably do if I'm looking at the outside, looking in and knowing, you know, Football Planet for a while, as long as I did? what would be something I do? I would get my guys to just on Friday night or Saturday night before, you know, instead of having the team meeting, of course you have the team meeting, you go over your plays, do what you're going to talk about, your dirty dozen. But I would end that meeting with all plays. I would end it with all the highlights that you had this year. Say, I want to see this guy. And have Debo, showing Debo running over guys, showing Debo making big plays, showing Kittle, showing Fred Warner, showing guys that are on that defense, Mustafa, showing guys, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're capable of. I think those guys, and that's what he's talking about, just to reassure guys, man, you can play. When you're playing well, you are still one of the dominating teams. Show Purdy having success. Show the receivers. Show the guys that are having success. Show, you know, Jennings, third and Jennings, taking over a game. That's what I would do. I was like, look, I'm not going to talk about it. I just want you guys to watch this. I'm going to let what you guys have done already. The hay's already in the barn. I'm going to let this film speak for me, because you've had some hell of plays this year and years. So let guys know what they're capable of, and maybe that's something you could do to spark your team.
Has there ever been a coach, or can you recall, because everybody wants the fire and brimstone speech, everybody wants to be Newt Rockney and fire up your team before a game or commiserate your team after a loss. Has there been a moment, whether it be before a game or at halftime, where a coach specifically gave you some sort of a rah-rah talk that you took to the field and it translated in a win?
Yeah, you've had some great speeches before from coaches and it translated. You know, you get tears in your eyes and they get you fired up. Those are things, are great halftime speeches as you have.
But is that theater, or does that really translate to anything?
I think it can be both, but it's got to come from within. So that's why I'm saying when you're saying that, I'm not, nothing just came to mind that made us win a game. And that's why it's got to be the play. And that's why when you're like, hey guys, I can't get you out of this, you guys got to do it. I'm going to call the play, you guys got to go execute. So until each guy can look at himself and say, guess what? Fred Warner looks at guys and say, I'm not going to let you lose. Until Debo look at Brock Purdy and say, Brock, I'm not going to let you lose today. Where Trent tells, you know, hey, I'm not going to let you lose. Those are the things that has to happen from within. And that's what Tasker's talking about. It's where guys are going to have to hold themselves accountable, because coaches can do so much of the rah-rah, but after the first play, you know what? That rah-rah is out the door. Guys have to hold each other accountable and do their job and do it at a high level. That's how you solve problems. Guys can't have that doubt. When doubt creeps in, someone's like, no, not today. When someone's having that doubt, that's when Mustafa says, guess what? Put it on me. I'm going to go pick this one off. Okay, that's going to happen. That's when, you know, Fred goes in there, strips the ball, pulls out a fumble, and you pick it up, scoop and score, and take it 80 yards. Those are those moments that you say, somebody has to make a play. Somebody has to step up and make a play. That's how you turn around this season. It's got to be, guys have to say, I'm committed, I'm going to sell out, and I'm going to turn this. I am going to do something extraordinary, but I'm going to do it in the confines. I'm going to do it playing my gap. I'm going to do it playing with the integrity of the defense. I'm not going to go freelance. I'm not going to go run out of my lane to go make a play. I'm going to do it when he comes into my hole, when he's coming to the integrity of my spot. I'm going to hit him. I'm going to strip the ball. I'm going to do something that is going to spark this team to turn it around. That's how it happens. It's not, it's organic. It doesn't come by the coach.
Baby, I could play for you. You know,
there you go, baby. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
You know, one of those coaches that I think, because I think a lot of it is just, you know, it's scheme. You want to know a coach is smart. He's relatable, as we talked about, being a player's coach, having that respect, which is something that you have to have buy-in. But I think if there's one coach that maybe actually lights the proverbial fire under his team's ass, it might be Dan Campbell. I saw a clip of Dan Campbell after they had the worst record in the NFL, and it was his first year as a head coach. And there was no doubt in his mind and the look in his eye that we are going to turn this around. He says, we need to start from a base level. It's about tackling. It's about playing football with an attitude. He says, in 2 years, we are going to be a team to be reckoned with. There was no hesitation in his message right from Jump Street. When that, if you recall, he inherited a bad team and he was losing that first year. But his message was very clear from day one. I just happened to see that, I think, on my social media. Somebody sent it on Instagram. And I'm like, wow. Because 2 years later, here they are.
Buy-in. It's called buy-in. And you're talking about a man that played the game. that's been on winning teams, that's been on losing teams. Dan Campbell, he can talk from experience and speak from a place of authority, and people buy in. When Dan Campbell is making those statements, I've sat and watched some of his interviews and sat and watched, you know, Hard Knocks and where he goes out and talks to the team. He said, guys, this was one of our worst practices. He said, only reason I'm making you guys practice this way, because football is about tackling. It's about hitting. That's what football is. He said, so if I don't have you guys tackle, but he said, not full tackle all the way to the ground. He said, but wrap up technique. He goes, if I can get you guys to do that, I promise you guys, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to be a, I'm not trying to be a butthead. I am trying to make we win. And if you buy into what I'm saying, and I just watch those guys around him, he goes, this is not winning. Today we did not win. If you guys can commit to what I'm trying to teach you, and that's fundamentally going out there and being mentally strong when I don't want to be, going out there instead of just tagging the guy, square up and say, I'm going to do this because I know this is what I need to do for the order for my team to come together. He does a great job to get guys to buy in, and that's what's been in success for him.
Let me do the ID really quick. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live with the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online. CR, just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You know, we talk about the Detroit Lions. Here's my only knock on Detroit. And listen, shout out Marin Catholic and the University of California. Go Bears. My sisters went to the University of California. I unfortunately couldn't get in. That's why I went to the University of Arizona and just drank for 4 years.
There you go.
But when nice. You think about Jared Goff, who, and I love the story that he got over on the Los Angeles Rams after being disrespected, and the story of him being able to have this reclamation project out there in Detroit. But do you trust him in, first of all, a big game? We talked about, if it's, I was joking at the beginning of the show, I said if it's below 70 degrees, then McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins aren't even getting on the bus or the flight to go play because, you know, we'll take the loss. I'm worried about the Detroit Lions when they have to play in the real elements, not in a dome, outside. And the other thing is he's such a pupil and a benefactor of Butch Johnson, who I think has replaced maybe Kyle Shanahan as the most innovative a coach in the NFL right now when it comes to schematics and schemes and in offenses, specifically in that NFC. And he can put it on guys when you draw it up. But you know this, Lo, that there comes a time when you get into a game and it's a 2-minute drill or 4 minutes, whatever, and you're down and it's the schemes may not be working. It's a postseason game. Can we put it on you anyways? Can you just – they know you're going to throw. You're down. Can you take us home? Can Jared Goff be that guy?
You know what's interesting? If you'd asked me this 7-8 years ago when he was with the Rams, I'd have told you, heck no, hell no, he's not going to do it. And you saw him against when they played against New England Patriots, wasn't able to do it, had opportunities and couldn't do it. Guess what? He didn't think he could do it, but his coaches, his players, and everyone in that locker room didn't think he can do it. And guess what? It translated to the field because everyone said Jared Goff's on a great team with Rams, and he's just can't lose games because their defense, they were running the ball, they did everything right. They said, Jared can't have to win games, he just needs to go manage. Who's that remind you of that was in San Francisco? Jimmy G. No one in that locker room said he can go win you games. They just said, manage the game, go play great defense, hand the ball off, don't turn the ball over, and we can go win. Jimmy G. Now, transferred. Jared Goff leaves and goes to Dan Campbell. Campbell a little bit reminds me of a guy named Jim Harbaugh. John's in Baltimore. Look what Harbaugh does for a guy, the quarterback that you had in Herbert. Look at the way Jim has gotten Herbert to believe that he's good. He's running around. He believes it. You go look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff is not the same quarterback that was with the Rams. He believes it. The guys in the locker room believe it. The coaches believe it. They ask him. They don't hold back. They make him do everything. Herbert now has been playing at an MVP type of level because his quarterback, his coaches, and his players and everyone believes. They knew he was good, but now they know that he can be great. You have to realize Jared Goff got traded, and you look at Stafford, you look at Jared Goff's numbers and compare him to anyone. Jared Goff is playing good football because they ask him to do anything and everything. He threw four interceptions against the Texans, came back and got in a shootout and had to go back and win that game. They don't hold back on him, and they believe in him. So when you're asking me, can he do it? He can do it because his coach and his staff and the players on his team, they have spoke life into that man, and he believes that he can do anything.
Jared,
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Goff and the Detroit Lions right now, just one blemish on the record, only one loss, but yet still only a game in front of the on-charging both the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Really quick, the other game that was played on Thanksgiving, which we have detailed, that being the Chicago Bears debacle and that loss to the Detroit Lions. I just want to stay with that game for a moment because there's someone on the text line here. And Paul, I'm going to give you the shout-out. It's Paul from Los Altos. And I'm not going to read this verbatim because it's kind of long, but he says that we're misinterpreting everything, that the Bears quarterback totally botched the game, not the coach. And after the game, the coach had the class to not throw him under the bus. And he talks about how it was time management and that you don't see the likes of Tom Brady or Joe Montana would never do something like that, that this was on the quarterback, that being a rookie by the name of Caleb Williams and his poor clock management, that he's responsible for the loss yesterday, not Eberflus. And Eberflus was a stand-up guy by taking the bullets for him. Your thoughts?
1,000% disagree with him. Yeah. Now, I've seen coaches take the bullets for players. I've seen coaches stand up there and say, hey, you know what? I got to do better. It's not the player's job, not the player's fault. It's my job to do better. And he's taking a bullet because people that are around that know football, they would know we had a guy, McCree, when I was playing with the Chargers, we're beating New England Patriots. He intercepts the ball. All he has to do is fall down. He tries to run it back. When you got the greatest running back of the league in LaDainian Tomlinson, you're winning the game with 4 minutes left. If you fall down right there, you get in victory, and you run the ball, you kick the ball. Instead, you intercept it on your own 10-yard line, and you think you're going to run it 90 yards. You fumble the ball back. New England has a short field, and they score. All he has to do, Coach Marty's just like, hey, look, we got to do a better job. That's not the play to lose it. That's class, and that's falling on the sword for the player. When that was McCree's fault. Now, here's the thing that's different. You have to realize Marty Schottenheimer couldn't have ran out there and called timeout or go grab the guy and push him on the ground and say, get down because run the clock out. When this is what this guy's making this text, what he fails to realize is 32 seconds left. All the head coach has to do is call timeout. You have to realize it's not on the quarterback. You are the head coach. You can call timeout. You take that out of the player's hand. I don't care. Brady can be saying, I'm calling the play. Belichick, how many times call timeout in front? Oh, and Brady was like, I'm ready to run a play. And he's upset because that is the head coach. You are the head coach in that situation with 32 seconds left. You're the head coach. It's not bad time management by the quarterback because the quarterback, yes, he's trying to get up there and get online. The coach supposed to say timeout. The coach, all he has to do is go to the official right next to him and say, time out. We just got sacked. Time out. What is so hard? How is that falling on the sword for your player? That's you as a head coach that you know you can call timeout because you have more gravitas than that player. That's where you step in and call timeout because you have a timeout left.
And the two-minute drill is something that you prepare for. So I would think if you're a good coach or an efficient coach, like all of that is something that you've prepped for, and every scenario is something that should have been at some point rehearsed. And as the 2 minutes are unwinding, he should be like a play ahead. And I'm talking about Eberflus, but this is sort of the struggle, especially in today's NFL, when you have a rookie quarterback and you take him number one overall, and we're talking about Caleb Williams, but you have a head coach who cut his teeth on the other side of the ball, that being a defensive-minded guy with Indianapolis. You know, I've always thought about this, and I always thought it was a good idea. You know, I used to do a show with Mike Holmgren, and he talked about how, because he botched the Super Bowl he didn't blow it against Pittsburgh, but he didn't handle his timeouts. But it's almost like it's a separate game. Like, these guys are really brilliant. And then the timeouts, not in this instance, but in terms of saving timeouts, knowing how many you have left, Sean McVay hired a guy specifically to put him up upstairs and just say, look, This is all you do to get a paycheck from the Los Angeles Rams. Work the clock. Tell me what it is that we, how many timeouts I have left. You manage the clock. I always thought that was a brilliant idea. If I was a head coach, that would be one of the first things I'd
without
do.
A doubt. And here's the thing. I understand what the text, you know, he's saying, look, here's a coach didn't want to sell his player out. It's 32 seconds. You're the head coach. If you see, that's like if saying, hey, look, you know that your kid is, you know, you're coaching your son or your daughter, and all of a sudden, hey, look, you see them getting ready to go up the bat or something, and they don't have something on right or whatever. You say, hey, look, hold on, let me get this thing right. You're the head coach. You're in a game situation with 32 seconds. Your quarterback just got, guys are taught to just get up and get back to the line. You have the ability. The referee is right next to you. And that's why he got fired. It wasn't because he fell on the sword for the player. They fired him because you're the head coach with 32 seconds left. And then you go to the media and say, I thought that was great. We need to. You don't have 2 minutes. You don't have a bunch of time. You have 32 seconds and the clock is ticking. What are you saving the timeout for? You don't put that on your player. That's you as a coach, because now you can call timeout. You can bring the player to the sideline. And now the offensive coordinator and say, what are you seeing? You get a timeout. Now you have an opportunity with 32 seconds. A play usually lasts 6 seconds. You can throw the out route, to try to get to the sideline to run to stop the clock. But you know more than likely they're going to play cover eight. That's four across and four in the middle. They're going to play cover four, cover eight, or if cover four is four guys across. Are they going to play cover eight, four underneath and four on top? And they're going to play boundaries, so you have to throw the ball in the middle of the field. You throw them all in the middle of the field in 6 seconds go off. Then you run to the line and you clock it. So now that takes you down to 18 seconds. You still have enough time to run one more play, clock it, or get out of bounds. And run up and kick a field goal. That is 1,000% on the coach, 1,000.
And certainly the Chicago Bears front office felt as much as Mr. Matt Eberflus, much to the delight of Carter Chickering, was canned today. Carter finding some delight in the fact that a poor guy's on the beach, as they like to say, at the soup kitchen. So he gets canned today. And we talked about this earlier. By the way, just before we put a bow on all of that, just to give you once again an NBA example, the head coach of the Miami Heat, who is just a legend, Eric Spoelstra, big fan of his, earlier this year, he called a timeout in overtime in a game where they were down two. Miami had the basketball with just seconds left. He didn't have any timeouts left.
Spo.
And he called the timeout.
Chris Webber.
Exactly. And it ended the game. What's the first thing he did in the press conference?
Owned it.
It's on me. It's on me. I just lost our team a game. That can't happen. That's begins and ends with me. What more do you want? And that's all he said for the next 10 minutes. They went after him, and he's like, me. So, yeah, Eberflus, I think that, listen, the way you handled that press conference, to me, that was the done deal. But just getting back again to the Chicago Bears, you have a coaching vacancy.
Mm.
Bill Belichick, my man.
God.
Football team.
That looks more and more attractive. If you're Bill Belichick.
Think about the six games that they've lost. Wow. I mean, that wild one to Washington, which was, Eberflus could have been canned after that one, quite frankly.
And Belichick's not making that mistake.
No, that isn't happening with Belichick team.
He's calling timeout with 32 seconds left and giving his team three other plays. Belichick would be well in Chicago because that team has some talent.
To cut you off for a second, not only would it, if Belichick is coaching that team, obviously he's not losing that game yesterday, or at least he's not
getting an overtime.
Yeah.
Chance.
Or at least he's not ending the game with a timeout in his pocket.
Right.
But if Belichick is coaching that loss to Jaden Daniels in Washington, I don't think that happens either. There's no way one of his DBs is talking to the fans in Chicago for a Bill Belichick coach team.
He's cut the next day. Belichick would have probably, if that guy's doing that with the Belichick team, you're not paying attention, and then the ball comes right where you're at. You're in so celebrating and engaged with fans. You're cut, you're benched, you're fine. That was inexcusable. But guess what? You don't do that with Belichick. That's the difference. You are talking about a man that has gravitas that players know better. They know what they can get away. I'm telling you, players have to be disciplined. Players have to be coached, and they have to be coached hard, because if not, you give them an inch, we'll take them out. I was on teams that, you know what, if you can push, when you got a nice coach and the coach is a pushover, guys will push it. There's a lot of guys will work hard and say, look, I don't care, I won't do that. But sometimes you've got to have a coach. If your coach is not like that, you better have some assistant coaches that are going to do your job, because you have to, there's a lot of testosterone. You have to manage these men.
Who was your head coach in San Diego?
Marty. Marty Schottenheim was unbelievable.
Well, no, Marty, but...
North Turner.
North Turner had all those good teams. He came over from the Skins.
Yep. North Turner was not a leader of men. And you ask the guys in Washington Redskins, they would quit on him, do certain things. They wouldn't listen. But Norv's a great guy, and he's a great coach, one of the best offensive minds that's ever been in the game. But when you don't have a guy that's a leader of men, guys will take advantage of your weakness, and they take it for granted, and they will push you. And that's why Norv Turner would never win a championship as a head coach.
How good was Antonio Gates, not only as a tight end, but as a hooper?
Oh, dude could play.
Did you play with him?
Oh, he would go out, would go to like the gym and just watch him throw it down, slam it any kind of way, but just had a great stroke, could throw the ball. Kent State. The dude could play. He went undrafted, didn't he? Undrafted.
That's crazy.
Undrafted, brother.
All right. Speaking of undrafted, he wasn't undrafted, certainly when he came out of college, but when you think about our man Josh Allen, nobody offered him an opportunity. All right, we got to get out. We continue here on 95.7 The Game. More 49er talk as they get ready for the Buffalo Bills with Lorenzo Neal and Dan Avone. 95.7 The Game.